Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued.
Hey, everyone. Ready for a topic that's headed all the way to the Supreme Court?
Oh, yeah. This one's a big one.
We're talking about conversion therapy.
Right.
More specifically, the legal battles that are surrounding state bans.
Okay.
On this really controversial practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated.
Definitely.
Has huge implications.
Yeah.
For LGBTQ plus rights.
Big time.
Get ready, because we're going deep.
All right.
This case is fascinating.
Yeah.
In that it kind of acts as a lens
through
which we can kind of view the wider struggle.
Right.
For LGBTQ plus rights here in the U.S.
Yeah.
We're seeing a real surge.
Right.
In legal challenges.
Oh, yeah.
That are targeting these rights.
Evidently.
And the Supreme Court's review.
Right.
Could set a precedent that has like.
Ripple effects.
Ripple effects across the board.
Absolutely.
We've got this really insightful article.
Okay.
From the Church of Tinkerbell blog. And they break down the situation in a really clear and informative way.
Okay, cool.
So we'll be using that today.
Great.
To explore,
yeah.
You know, the legal arguments,
mm-hmm.
the potential outcomes.
Right.
And what it all means for the LGBTQ plus community.
For sure. I think it's crucial that we start by clearly defining conversion therapy, because there are often a lot of misconceptions surrounding it.
Okay, so let's unpack that then.
Yeah.
The article refers to it as reparative therapy, too.
Uh-huh.
Is that the same thing?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
It's basically a catch-all term
for
any practice that aims to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity.
Gotcha.
And here's where it gets really concerning.
Okay.
Major medical and psychological organizations.
Yeah.
Like the APA, the AMA, the AAP.
Wow, okay.
They've all come out strongly against conversion therapy.
So they're saying it doesn't even work.
Right. They found that not only is it ineffective.
It can be incredibly harmful.
The article highlights some pretty alarming statistics
from
like the APA and the Trevor Project.
Yeah.
Can you shed some light on those for us?
Certainly. So studies have consistently shown a link between conversion therapy and a heightened risk of depression, anxiety, self-harm.
Oh, wow.
And even suicide among LGBTQ plus youth.
Jeez.
I mean, telling someone their identity is fundamentally flawed and needs to be fixed, it can have devastating consequences.
So given these dangers, how did we get to a point where states are enacting bans on this practice?
Well, the good news is over 20 states and numerous local jurisdictions have recognized the serious risks associated with conversion therapy.
Right.
And they've taken steps to protect minors by passing laws that prevent licensed mental health professionals from engaging in this practice. So licensed professionals.
Right.
Gotcha.
The goal, as outlined in the article and supported by groups like the Movement Advancement Project, is to shield these vulnerable young people from harm.
So these bans are specifically targeting licensed professionals.
Yeah.
What about like religious counselors or others who might not be licensed?
That's a really important point.
Okay.
And it's actually at the heart of the legal challenges that we're seeing.
So instead of just saying there's pushback, can you give me the main arguments against these state bans and who's leading the charge?
Absolutely. Groups like the Alliance Defending Freedom and Liberty Council are very actively fighting these bans in court.
Okay.
Their argument is that they infringe on the First Amendment rights of therapists.
Gotcha.
Specifically, freedom of speech and religious liberty.
Right.
They believe these bans are preventing therapists from acting on their beliefs.
Okay. And that parents should have the right to choose this kind of therapy for their children.
That raises a really interesting question then.
Mm.
How do we balance individual freedoms with the responsibility to protect potentially vulnerable populations?
That's the question, isn't it?
It's a tricky issue.
Very tricky.
With no easy answers, right?
It is indeed.
Okay.
It forces us to grapple with where we draw the line between personal beliefs and the potential for harm, particularly when it comes to minors.
And that's exactly what the Supreme Court is wrestling with right now, isn't it?
Yep.
They're going to determine if these state bans on conversion therapy are constitutional.
Uh-huh.
The article mentioned lower courts have given mixed rulings.
Yeah, they have.
So it's really hard to say how the Supreme Court will decide.
It really is.
I think it would be really helpful for our listeners to understand these scenarios.
And what's at stake?
For sure.
Let's break those down, shall we?
Absolutely.
Right.
So the first scenario, and this is the one LGBTQ plus advocates are hoping for, is that the Supreme Court upholds the state bans.
Okay.
This would be a huge victory.
Right.
Because it would reinforce the state's right to regulate practices like conversion therapy that they deem harmful.
So it would basically mean that protecting minors from this type of potential harm outweighs certain individual freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means some limitation.
Precisely.
Okay.
And it would send a very clear message
right.
that the well-being of LGBTQ plus youth is a top priority.
But then there's also the chance that the court could rule against these bans.
Right.
What would that mean in practical terms?
Yeah.
What would that look like?
That's the second scenario.
Okay.
And it's definitely the most worrying for LGBTQ plus rights.
All right.
If the Supreme Court strikes down the bans, it essentially opens the door for therapists and religious counselors to practice conversion therapy on minors without legal repercussions.
That's a really sobering thought.
Yeah.
It would seem like a major step backward.
It would.
After all the progress that's been made.
Yeah.
In protecting LGBTQ plus youth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And it would very likely embolden groups who are opposed to LGBTQ plus rights.
Mm-hmm.
To push for even more rollbacks of protections and rights.
It almost feels like opening a Pandora's box of potential harm.
Right.
And then there's the third scenario.
Okay.
A sort of middle ground where the court could issue a narrow ruling.
Right.
Limiting the bans in some way.
Uh-huh.
They might say, for instance,
that
bans are okay for licensed professionals, but not for religious counselors who aren't licensed.
Exactly.
So a partial victory, but one with some significant loopholes that could leave many young people at risk.
Exactly.
And it would likely trigger even more legal battle and a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah.
All of this is happening against a backdrop of growing legal challenges to LGBTQ plus rights across the board.
Mm-hmm.
The article brought up the 303 Creative LLC v. Alanis case from 2023, where the Supreme Court sided with a business owner who wanted to refuse service to LGBTQ plus customers.
Yeah.
Based on religious beliefs.
Uh-huh.
How does this case connect to the larger conversation we're having about conversion therapy?
It's a crucial connection.
Okay.
The 303 Creative case, along with the potential overturning of Roe v. Wade, has created an atmosphere where many people fear that LGBTQ plus rights are under attack.
Right.
This case on conversion therapy is just one piece of a much larger puzzle.
Gotcha. So it feels like we're seeing a pattern emerge here. You know, it's not just about one specific case. It's about a broader trend of legal challenges that seem to be targeting the LGBTQ plus community, especially young people.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we're also seeing a disturbing uptick in legislation that's aimed at restricting access to gender affirming health care for transgender youth.
Yeah.
These laws often try to block doctors from providing treatments like puberty blockers, hormone therapy, or surgeries that align with a young person's gender identity.
Exactly.
But isn't that kind of healthcare backed by major medical organizations?
It is.
I'm thinking about groups like the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Endocrine Society.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
These treatments are endorsed by those organizations and have been shown to
significantly improve the mental health and overall well-being of transgender youth.
That's why these legislative efforts
okay.
are so alarming.
And it's not just healthcare, is it?
Huh.
No. We're also seeing attempts to limit transgender students' participation in sports and to ban discussions about gender identity and sexual orientation in schools.
Exactly. These legislative moves are often framed as protecting children.
Right.
But in reality, they're achieving the opposite.
Yeah.
They're pushing LGBTQ plus youth to the margins, stigmatizing them.
Right.
And sending a very clear message that they are not welcome or accepted for who they are.
It all seems to circle back to this Supreme Court case on conversion therapy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If the court decides to rule against the bans, couldn't that give momentum to these other attacks on LGBTQ plus rights?
It could.
Could it create a more hostile environment for LGBTQ plus people, especially young people?
It's a valid concern.
Right.
A ruling against those bans could potentially be used to justify further restrictions. On LGBTQ plus rights in other areas.
Okay.
It sets a precedent that could have a ripple effect.
Like one domino knocking over the next?
Precisely. That's why it's crucial for people to be aware of what's happening with this case and understand the broader implications.
Right.
It's not just a single legal issue.
Yeah.
It's about the future of LGBTQ plus rights and equality in this country.
So what can people do?
Yeah.
How can they stay informed and make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
The article offered some suggestions.
Yeah.
It stressed the importance of raising awareness, talking to friends and family about the dangers of conversion therapy, the importance of supporting LGBTQ plus youth.
Yeah.
Those conversations are essential.
They are.
Sharing information on social media, writing letters to editors, contacting elected officials.
Yeah.
These are all ways to make your voice heard.
They are.
The article also encouraged supporting organizations.
Like the Human Rights Campaign and the National Center for Lesbian Rights.
Yes.
Groups that are on the front lines.
Yeah.
Advocating for LGBTQ plus equality.
Those organizations are doing incredible work.
Right.
They provide legal representation, push for policy changes, and support LGBTQ plus youth and their families.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to understand what's going on at the local level.
Absolutely.
What are your state and local representatives' positions
on
LGBTQ plus issues?
Mm.
Are they supporting or opposing legislation that impacts the LGBTQ plus community?
Knowledge is power.
Right.
The more informed you are,
the
more effectively you can advocate for change.
The article also urged people to be supportive and affirming of LGBTQ plus youth in their lives.
Yeah.
Sometimes just knowing someone cares and accepts them for who they are can be life-changing.
It can.
So important.
It's so important. Simple acts of kindness and support can have a profound impact.
It can.
Let LGBTQ plus youth know that they are loved, valued, and worthy of respect.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important to remember that if you or someone you know is struggling, there are resources available.
Right.
Organizations like the Trevor Project offer crisis intervention and suicide prevention services.
Exactly.
Specifically for LGBTQ plus youth.
Absolutely. You are not alone.
Okay.
There are people who care and want to help.
This feels like a pivotal moment.
It does.
For LGBTQ plus rights in America.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court's decision on conversion therapy has the potential to shape the legal landscape for years to come.
It's a stark reminder that the fight for equality is ongoing and demands vigilance and action.
But amidst all these challenges, it's also important to acknowledge the progress that's been made.
Right.
The fact that we're having this conversation, that there's widespread condemnation of conversion therapy, that there are laws in place to protect LGBTQ plus youth, these are all signs of positive change.
And it's a testament to the strength and determination of the LGBTQ plus community and their allies.
We're at a crossroads here.
We are.
The path we choose will determine the kind of society we create.
Right.
One that welcomes diversity and equality.
Yeah.
Or one that permits discrimination and harm to thrive.
It's a choice.
Yeah.
And one we must make carefully.
This has been thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that we're having these conversations.
Absolutely.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
From the specifics of this Supreme Court case.
Right.
To the broader context of LGBTQ plus rights in America.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I'd love to get your thoughts on something that's been on my mind. Well, the article really focuses on the legal battles.
Uh-huh.
Which are obviously incredibly important.
They are.
But it got me thinking about the cultural shifts that also need to take place.
Right.
How do we create a society where LGBTQ plus people feel safe, accepted, and celebrated for who they are, regardless of what the law says?
That's such a crucial question. It's about going beyond the legal framework and fostering a culture of genuine inclusion and understanding.
Gotcha.
I think it starts with education, empathy, and open dialogue.
Okay.
We need to actively challenge harmful stereotypes and misconceptions, promote acceptance, and create spaces where LGBTQ plus people can share their stories and experiences without fear of judgment.
So it's about fostering a sense of belonging for everyone, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that diversity makes us stronger, not weaker.
Right. Yeah.
And that embracing and celebrating all members of our society enriches everyone's lives.
It's a journey we all need to be a part of.
Absolutely. And it requires ongoing effort and commitment from all of us.
This case on conversion therapy.
Yeah.
And the broader movement for LGBTQ plus rights.
Right.
Have really highlighted the power of individual voices and collective action.
You're so right.
Okay.
Whether it's speaking out against injustice, supporting organizations fighting for equality, or simply being an ally to someone who needs it.
Yeah.
Every action, every voice makes a difference.
It's inspiring to see people coming together.
It is.
To advocate for a more just and equitable world.
It truly is, and it gives me hope for the future.
But it's not just about like grand gestures, right?
No, no, not at all.
Sometimes the small everyday acts of allyship can have a really huge impact.
Absolutely. It's about challenging our own biases and assumptions.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We all have them, whether we realize it or not.
Right.
It's about being willing to listen, learn, and grow.
And it's about speaking up against injustice.
Yes.
Being an ally.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting LGBTQ plus people in our communities.
You know, sometimes the most powerful impact comes from the smallest actions.
Okay.
A kind word, a gesture of support.
Right.
Simply being willing to stand up for what's right.
Yeah.
Those things can make a world of difference.
So as we wait for the Supreme Court's decision and navigate this really complex legal landscape, it's important to remember that the fight for LGBTQ plus equality isn't confined to courtrooms.
No, it's not.
It's a much broader fight.
Yeah.
For hearts and minds.
Absolutely.
For a more just and compassionate world.
And it's a fight that needs all of us to participate.
Right.
Whether you're LGBTQ plus or an ally.
Yeah.
Your voice matters. Okay. Your actions matter.
We've covered a lot of ground.
For sure.
But the conversation definitely doesn't end here.
No, it doesn't.
What would you say to our listeners who want to keep exploring these issues and maybe even get involved?
I would encourage them to continue learning, to engage in respectful dialogue, and to be an advocate for positive change in whatever way feels right for them.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course.
It's been intense.
Yeah.
But incredibly important.
It has been.
I hope you've come away with a better understanding of what's at stake.
Yeah.
And feel empowered to make a difference.
I hope so too.
And until next time.
Yeah.
Keep asking those tough questions.
Absolutely.
Keep seeking out knowledge and keep diving deep.
All right. See you next time.